He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show. It is the July 18th edition, and we are off to a pretty good start in the market, but we have kind of just the opposite of what's been going on most of the year. We've got the NASDAQ down a little today, and the Dow is up 220 points right now. I'm going to call the strength of the market in the energy patch, the oil and gas stocks. The Dow up 220, 34,805 as it continues to forge its way towards 35,000. The S&P remains above 4,500 today. That's the S&P 500. It's up 7 points today to 4,530. The NASDAQ is taking the day off. It's had quite a few strong work days here recently. The NASDAQ is down 31 points, 14,214, although I am seeing some strength in the software sector. The small caps are doing very well. They're up 80 basis points today. Crude oil, there's where your strength is in the energy stocks, especially the energy service stocks. Crude oil's up 80 cents to $74.95. Gold's got some lift under it. It's up 18 to $19.74. The 10-year's down 2 basis points to 3.78. And Bitcoin under some pressure, down 413 to 29,877. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm, and the provider of the Gunderson newsletter, the Best Stocks Now newsletter, which comes out every Saturday, and also the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app, www.beststocksnowapp.com. Well, Barry, we started off with a pretty good day yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 131. I noticed most of the strength, the semiconductor sector, especially is spreading out beyond NVIDIA and AMD into some of the smaller chip stocks. And I noticed strength in the software sector also. They pretty much led the way yesterday in the market.
Well, I guess the NASDAQ kind of deserved a day to take a rest. At least that's what it looks like so far. I mean, they've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting so far in 2023. So we'll give, and like you said, it's almost beginning to broaden out to the, a lot of the tech sector, because you got to think folks that buy a QQQ, whether they're, NVIDIA gets some of that purchase, but so does, a lot of the other names that might be out there.
Yeah, the rally has obviously extended way beyond now the NASDAQ right. 100. So you take the semiconductor sector, for instance, which is dominated by about three or four stocks, and the ones that I noted yesterday that were breaking out were AEHR, Allegro Microsystems, Amkor Technology, Camtech, Form Factor, On Semiconductor. Those are all second and third tier chip stocks. And so, it's spreading out beyond just the major indexes, now down into the sector level. And I looked at the software stocks. The ones I wrote down that were impressive were AppFolio, Datadog, Fortinet, Palantir, Proficient. These are kind of smaller second-tier stocks. So, it's just that's usually what happens. It starts off with money going into the big ones, the dominant players, and then when they start to get too expensive, too extended, it starts to spread out. Buying into other areas of the market. Yesterday, too, we had the big news from Tesla with their first Cybertruck rolling off the line in Austin, Texas. that sent shockwaves through Detroit, through Motown, with Ford selling off. And you know that I didn't realize you mentioned the lowering of the price by
17. Ford. Yeah, some of those models 17%, but they were taking so much margin ahead of time, because they were one of the first higher heavy duty, quote unquote heavy duty trucks versus say Rivian to come out. So they had some ability to price well, and then they've really pulled that back.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually you have to move the price to where they'll move off the lot, too.
Right.
They lowered the price from $60,000 for an updated F-150 Lightning to $50,000. From $60,000 to $50,000. So like you say, 16-17%. That's a huge price drop. I'd be pretty mad if I paid $60,000 for one of those things.
Yeah, just can you imagine, like, if you just, happen to, get, God forbid he got it this weekend, but, if you bought one in the last month, what do you, you're going to feel, I would imagine you'd feel, almost burned for
absolutely.
An extended, especially if you're on some kind of waiting list, because a lot of times, early on, particularly when it involves Tesla, there's going to be a lot of waiting lists, and so maybe waiting lists ended, and they're like, 17% discount from here on out.
Like, yeah, and the other models, extended range pickup, they lowered from basically 80,000 to 70,000, and then they have a platinum extended range, which was selling at around 98,000. They lowered it to 92,000. So yeah, I mean that's pretty big. Price
and when
drops.
And when you think of vehicle prices in general, I mean, that's a, as you think of, Ford F-150, you can go back, it's like the number one selling truck, the gas version for, 10 years, 15 years, maybe still, in terms of, work trucks, things of that nature. And, try turning over those fleets to, even at the lowest price point, right? Some, $50,000 for, from some work truck. It just doesn't really seem feasible. It's not at this point.
It's crazy. I mean, I remember when Porsches and whatnot sold at that level. Now
you're right. Yeah.
F-150 work truck.
Yeah, here's your brand new 911.
With a
toolbox
in back.
Here's your brand new 911, $62,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Apple had a good day yesterday. I noticed that one too. Is it is staying above that $3 trillion mark? It's $38 billion above $3 trillion. Yesterday it hit an all-time high. It's pulling back a little bit today. I would say the big tech stocks, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Google, et cetera, a little pullback today, maybe a half a percent or so after what they've been doing here recently. We got the retail sales numbers out today. They were weaker than expected.
Yeah, that one's an interesting mixed bag, by the way, with some of the last month's revised up. So you made some retail sales up on the revised versions, but then, of course, this month came in, lower than expected. So, do we think that's good for, is that good for the economy, bad for the economy? Is it good for interest rates or not? Right? It's
guess
you can make
which,
an argument, whichever
guess
one
which
you want.
Part of retail sales had the best jump? That would be online retail sales. As, more and more of the bricks and mortar stores are going away, Bed Bath & Beyond, obviously, the latest victim. There's still some survivors out there, but they are struggling. Now, Janet Yellen, back from her trip to China, I don't know that much progress was made. But we keep hearing slowing economic growth in China. And China's even starting to get just a little bit frantic about it. And they're trying to take steps to encourage people to consume. I don't know how you do that. You got to put more money in their pockets.
I feel like when China's reporting bad numbers, they must really be bad.
Yes, that's exactly. They must really be bad. And, they've got an 11-point plan to try to boost their economy. But Janet Yellen, who's our Treasury Secretary, she says that it will not tip the U.S. economy. Their slowness will not tip the U.S. economy into recession, even though, yesterday we had Jeffrey saying dark clouds ahead looming out there for the U.S. economy. and Goldman Sachs saying there was just a 25% chance of a recession in the next year. Now, here's a more encouraging inflation news. I could hardly believe this when I saw the headline. Canadian inflation slows to 2.8% in June. That's crazy that it's dropped that much. And I would have to say it's lumber. It's some of the things that Canada produces, lumber, a lot of the basic materials, oil and gas, natural gas, et cetera. But anyways, 2.8. The hot spot continues to be Germany, which last time I saw was at 6.8. And we're somewhere in the 4.8 range. And that's why you saw the big blast off in the market again last week. We'll be right back. Today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 199, S&P up 7, NASDAQ down 34. Part of that NASDAQ pause. We still don't know what the final outcome to the Microsoft and Activision merger or acquisition by Microsoft of Activision, where that stands. It looks like they're just going to wait a few days. I'd go ahead and get it before someone files another lawsuit and tries to stop it. But it looks to me like the FTC, they're out of bullets to fire at this deal.
And it sounds like both parties want a deal. Of course, if you would have given Elon an out like this with Twitter, I'm sure he probably he would have exited. But it seems like both of them want a deal in some form or fashion. So we'll see what it ends up looking like. I know they have to sell off a few pieces of business for strictly to meet the UK kind of regulatory requirements, but. Yeah, seems like they're on track. Lawyers are getting paid a lot in this one, I guess, right?
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of Twitter, I read that Kathy Wood, they
wrote down.
She bought a bunch of the private shares of Twitter. She paid what Elon paid, I think.
Yeah.
And she wrote it down by 47%. That's because it's not publicly traded. We don't know where it trades, but obviously it's Elon paid way too much for Twitter.
Yeah, she's been in the news a lot with that. There's also been a lot of talk about redemptions, even though she's been of course the ARK is done great this year, but she's having redemptions and something she got out of NVIDIA, I think, in late January, and,
yep.
And folks have been kind of harping on her on that, and so I saw an interview. I think it was taped yesterday, but yeah, it was kind of just interesting, just in terms of thoughts. But yeah, the Twitter markdown for 47%—that's a lot,
well,
especially from the $42 billion that $42.20 was the price, I think. Or 40,
you know, 42. This is her kind of a market. You know, like 2020 coming out of COVID was her kind of a market, and this year is her kind of a market. So now the question is, okay, so is that a strategy that works out over the long haul? Obviously, you're buying companies with huge upside potential, a lot of risk. They run like crazy to the upside during good times, and then they just get slaughtered during bad times. Down 60. She's over 62% last year. I just don't see it as a good long-term strategy. Let's say you're just getting out of college and starting up and putting your money, would you rather follow kind of a Warren Buffett method and stashing money away? Or would you rather be in that pushing the envelope big time, really pushing. It just doesn't seem to be a very good strategy unless you're a short-term trader, but she's not. She stays the course, you know, come hell or high water, and most of the time it's hell for her.
Well, and if redemptions, and you've mentioned this a number of times, if redemptions end up, kind of being overly, see, she has more redemptions than she expects, well, you know, she is the market in some of those names,
yep.
And so the amount of shares that she might would have to move in those stocks that are, they're closely held is not necessarily the right term, but there's a lot of institutional money in there, and it's a very small market in terms of number of shares that are available sometimes in some of those names. So.
I would also say this, and I mean, I was around in 2000 when a lot of so-called rock stars were born in the industry. And where are they now? I mean, they're not in the industry anymore. Most of them were gone by 2003 or so after the NASDAQ crashed and burned. And you've got Warren Buffett still plugging away.
Yeah, or they closed their fund reappeared a handful of years later somewhere else. But yeah, it's a space that's going to naturally, especially if you have to stay fully invested, which she really has to, and it's going to create even more volatility because she didn't have a way to hedge.
No. So anyways, I mean, I guess during go-go times, you can invest in some ARK and some of her other funds. But when the worm starts to turn, you don't want to be left holding the bag because that stuff just gets absolutely slaughtered eventually. Okay, AMD had a good day yesterday. I was wondering why there was a sudden turnaround in the stock. It was down all morning, and then all of a sudden it bounced hard and ended up having a good day. That's because they figured out that the CEO, Dr. Lisa Su, was in Taiwan, meeting with a number of the company's suppliers, including global foundry giant Taiwan Semiconductor, in what some are hoping will boost its presence in the AI server supply chain. And, they did have one AI announcement, and it didn't go over so big, but yesterday there was renewed excitement in the stock as it turned around, and she is over there in Taiwan laying out the groundwork for something with the suppliers, and the rumor is it will be their competitor to NVIDIA's chip. If anybody has the potential to do it and the chops to do it, I would think it would be AMD.
That's probably the one. That's probably the quarterly report quarterly call that I'm the most excited about. That, of course, in NVIDIA,
yes.
But with AMD, it feels like they just haven't really. Didn't seem like they've talked it up right a ton, and they were pretty positive on a few things during the last call, but no one really picked it up, and it was, of course, before NVIDIA announced their their go forward estimates increasing.
Well, we'll find out whether or not Guajillo chicken sells in the Middle East, or queso sauce. Chipotle announced on Tuesday their first ever development agreement, and I think it's a franchisee, which is also their first ever to open restaurants in the Middle East. Well, they sent us kava, okay, which is Middle East food. We're going to send them Chipotle. The grass is always greener on the other side.
And a lot of those entities, when they go overseas, Burger King did this years and years ago with their restaurants in Russia. That's how I believe some Russian quote unquote Burger King can continue to run. I don't know if they're running under the Burger King name necessarily, but yeah, they choose a partner and they'll have a development. Those folks will build the stores, and then they'll pay some kind of franchise fee model back to Chipotle.
Well, they changed the name in Russia from Burger King to Burger Oligarch.
Yeah,
and
there
it comes
you
with
that
a crown, and a heavy-handed
and a yacht.
Fist.
Does it come with a yacht?
Yes, and a mega yacht. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that big news on that biotech yesterday. And then there's a new player against SpaceX, and then there's a bunch of earnings that have come out here this morning. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, yesterday one of the big winners was biotech Argenix, ARGX, which is out of the Netherlands, and they had a breakthrough. Wow, that thing's powering ahead again today, up another $29 per share. And that usually does not happen when a company announces a big secondary offering, which is what ARGX did. They launched a global offering of $750 million, which is pretty large, ARGX, and the stock is up despite that. I mean, that is very rare, Barry, that you see a stock go up offering.
Yeah, it's like now we're going to have more shares for everyone, which would dilute which would normally dilute the stock, and of course, like you said, it's going through the roof.
Yes. What else? You know, I mean, this must be a major drug breakthrough that they have made. What would the stock be up if it weren't didn't have the secondary offering?
Right.
Probably
yeah.
Be up three times that. So, one to keep your eye on. I was reading yesterday too. Barron's over the weekend pointed out that Elon Musk SpaceX has a bigger valuation on it than Boeing, has a bigger valuation on it than Raytheon. You know, there is definitely a Musk premium that is paid for stocks, except in the case of Twitter here. But to have that stock,
he was the multiple
SpaceX,
on Twitter. Yeah, he
worth
was the person
more than
who
Boeing.
Paid the multiple. Yeah.
How often does SpaceX launch? I mean, we know because we see him here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And yet you go to the Atlanta airport, how many Boeings are on the tarmac there, you know? So anyways, that's just, there's your Musk premium at its best. Now, there is a new competitor, Rocket Lab. I've been watching this stock a little bit, RKLB. We have a client that actually owns it. He bought it on his own and said, Bill, don't sell it. I said, okay. And it's done pretty good. So for that reason, I do look at it every day. And it is breaking out, RKLB, as they deploy satellites for NASA and commercial constellation operators. How many satellites do we have circling the globe? Would you ask ChatGPT during the break?
Yeah.
I want to know how many satellites are circling the globe.
Are they still functional ones? Or there's other, some
there's
space
gotta, and how much of them are like outdated, just floating around, space junk, is that what they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, one's got Buzz Aldrin's signature on it somehow, right?
Yep, yeah. That's right. So anyways, keep your eye on Rocket Labs, RKLB. Okay, now earnings, the earnings parade. Okay, here it comes around the corner. Who do I see first today? Lockheed Martin. Now, they had a pretty good day yesterday. The stock broke out. They beat their earnings by 28 cents. They raised their outlook, and yet the stock is down. Let's just call it flat. It's flat right now.
Man, it's flat. I looked at it earlier this morning, and it was up like 8% or so.
Yep,
and
it's flat.
I'm thinking that can't be, and you know, good for Lockheed Martin. Can't be great for the world if their sales are up 8%. Right?
But here's a perfect example of stock prices follow earnings growth. Okay, the earnings growth for Lockheed came to a halt about 2021 or so, I mean, they had been growing every year prior to that at about 12 to 13% a year. And now they've slowed down to this low single-digit growth. Look at this quarter they just reported. Their sales were up 1% versus the same quarter last year, and their earnings were flat with the same quarter last year. So what is the stock? Flat.
Yeah, you see the full year, 2024, up 3.8%, 2025, 2.6%. So that there's your growth rates going forward.
Single-digit growth won't cut it. Just ask AT&T, ask Verizon, ask Philip Morris. It's not their fault in some cases. It's that they've saturated the world with their product. And the only way you're going to see growth in stock price is to see the multiple, expand. And Lockheed Martin, pretty good, decent report. But compared with last year, it's flat. Flat is not good in the stock market. Morgan Stanley, that's our friend, Chris Wilson, is it? Mike Wilson. Let's see how his company is doing. Now, he doesn't run the company. Hey, a good report. The most bearish guy out there, how come your stock's doing so well if things are so gloomy? Morgan Stanley's up 6.1%. Now, as I said at the end of the first half of the year, I said there's going to be some rotation here. You know, you had the NASDAQ up like 32% the first half of the year. You're going to see some rotation out of tech and into other sectors. And I said the two most likely sectors to see incoming were the energy service sector and the financial sector. And that is happening. The financial sector continues to have a lot of winners. Yesterday I noticed Ameriprise, Stifel, APAM, Ares Capital, pretty good moves. And now today, this is a financial, okay? Morgan Stanley is a financial, not a bank. They beat, a pretty good beat there, and they're up 6.3%. I would call that, so far, from what I've seen, the stock of the day, Morgan Stanley, MS.
Definitely the financial of the day, right?
Yeah. Now, let's look at Bank of America. They report, of course, they're Merrill Lynch. And look at Bank of America, up 4.3.5%. Now, it's hard to see foresee a recession around the corner when you see these financials that are pretty much tied to the economy and the markets and everything. Bank of America, which is also a single-digit stock, even though they had a good quarter here, they must have had an easy comparison or something. Their sales were up 18%, 13%, and their earnings were up 18%. But over the last 5 years, they've been just an 8% grower, and you have a mediocre stock. You get that single-digit growth, and you've got a mediocre stock. And that's what Bank of America has been, despite today's little 5.4% jump. You do get a dividend in the case of Bank of America, 2.9%. And where's Bank of America headquartered? In one of the fastest-growing cities in America, Charlotte, North Carolina.
What, the Queen City, right?
Which has become a big, major hub for a lot of companies moving there. It's a business-friendly state. South Carolina, we're the home of Boeing, second home of Boeing. We're the home of Volvo. We build BMWs here. We build Mercedes here.
Sprinter
vans. We have a giant port here. Another business-friendly state. Try running a business in California. A lot of companies won't even open. A lot of franchisees won't even go to California because it's such a difficult place to do business in. I know for a fact. I'm a witness to the fact that it's a difficult state to do business in. Charles Schwab. Okay, let's check in on Schwab and see if they can keep this financial wave going. Well, look at that. Do you see Schwab today? That's who we're going to be with. We're probably with them now.
Yeah, they're
it's
really
right by
combined.
The end of this month. Labor Day is the big switchover where Ameritrade was bought out by. I was with Scottrade. Scottrade was bought out by Ameritrade, and now Ameritrade is bought out by Schwab. I don't see anybody buying Schwab out from here unless it's the Saudis or something like that, Saudi Wealth Fund. Schwab is up 11.4% today. Yeah. And do you remember when these stocks were reeling back earlier this year during the breakdown of Silicon Valley Bank? And I said, look, it's contained to a few companies here. It's not doesn't represent the rest of the financial sector. But the financial sector went nowhere for about 3 or 4 or 5 months, and now you've got a breakout in Schwab, which more evidence that this money that was focused. Remember, it started off with seven stocks.
Right. It's beginning to broaden out a bit. But and tomorrow, of course, we get speaking a couple of those names, PacWest and Zion Bank will report tomorrow. So we'll see
so
how they do.
So now this rally has spread. And then it went to 14 stocks. Okay. And then it kind of went to the NASDAQ 100. Then it started to spread to the S&P 500. Today I've got 667 B-plus or better ranked stocks. Which is about double the average. And on the A-plus momentum side, I've got 217 A-plus momentum stocks, which is also a little bit above average. We'll give you one more here. Let's see what PNC. Let's see if it can keep the – it's usually a stinker. PNC, it's up 1.7%. Even a stinker like PNC is having a good day. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Here's the stat that stands out to me. 30 Dow stocks, 25 are up. Only 5 are down. Okay.
Call that breath, huh?
We've been talking about the breadth of the market improving. And, I mean, my major theme when we turned the corner on the second half of the year, my first newsletter of the second half was the market is entering into a new phase. And that new phase is it's continuing to get unconcentrated, and it's spreading out, and it's spreading out into not only into some of the hot sectors, into the second and third tier stocks, but also into the some of the sectors that have not been leading sectors so far this year, such as energy services, financials. Some industrials have been doing well also. I would say another area where I notice rotation, the mega caps dominated the market in the first part of the year. Now, the mega caps are driven by institutional money, not by little individual investors. So that's where the big money, I would say that's the smart money. When you see those mega caps start to really surge and lead the market, that's institutional money. And then, you know, so the little investor gets left behind, and then they start investing in the mega caps at about the top of the cycle, and then it starts spreading out into the mid and small caps. And I have seen the small caps doing really well and starting to participate when they were totally left behind, completely left behind in the first half of the year. Okay, as I look at the S&P 5, and I see big tech. Okay, who are the five losers in the Dow today? Those that led it in the first half of the year, pretty much. Salesforce is down a little bit. Apple's down 0.5%. Microsoft is down 0.5%. Intel's down 1.3%. Visa's down 2.4%. So really the high-flyer growth stocks are taking a backseat now to more of the small and mid-cap kind of value stocks, I suppose you could say, and into sectors that are lower PE ratios. Technology, by far has the highest PE ratio. And then, of course, you go out on the outer edge of technology, which is where Kathy Wood is. That's extreme valuations out in that. That's rarefied air out there. And that's the most vulnerable right now going forward. And then you come in technology a little bit, and you start getting, and then you go to the, you know, the furthest in on the wing of the airplane would be the lower PE sectors, home builders, industrials, financials, energy service. That's the area of the market that is now on the receiving end, while that high flying sector is on the profit-taking end for now. Okay, as you look at the S&P 500, the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today is Schwab,
which you would think,
it's a yawner, it's a boring stock. But, hey, we helped Schwab this past quarter. You know, we've helped Schwab grow their assets by bringing in new clients and making money on our assets under management. Schwab's up 11.7%. I'm waiting for my thank you letter from Schwab. Morgan Stanley is the second biggest winner. It's up 6.3%. And then you get down into a trucking stock, Old Dominion, up 5.6%. You see what's missing? The high flyers. You've got Range Resources, a natural gas company, is up 4.6%. APA, a natural gas company, up 4.2%. And Bank of America, one of the most boring stocks of all time, is up 4.2%. That's what's leading the S&P 500 today. It's not NVIDIA. It's not ServiceNow, which had another big day yesterday. It's the more
boring.
It's not
boring. Even CRM, is it?
No, it's the more boring end of the spectrum. Now you go to the NASDAQ, which is the most exciting of the three major indexes. The leader of the NASDAQ is Amgen, one of the most boring stocks in the NASDAQ. And Amgen's also in the Dow. It's up 2.2%. Then you've got an airline stock, American Airlines. What do these stocks have in common? Low PE ratios. Now, I'm not saying that you should sell all your high PE stocks and buy low PE stock. We're talking about new money. No, I'm not going to sell my NVIDIA. No, I'm not going to sell my Apple. But I would not buy Apple here at this price. I would be putting new money into some of these other areas of the market that are starting to surge. And that's why I look at 1,000 charts every single day, so I can notice this surge starting to take place in areas of the market early, before it's too late, before they've gone way up.
Well, and if you just kept focusing on only things that you own already, well, then you'd never you'd be doing it in a vacuum and never find anything new and never find a reason to maybe part ways with what you're actually in.
A timing thing, right? Yeah, I mean, if you come in late to the game, like people coming in today, there are certain ones that I just would not. Now, if it's a mutual fund, you don't have that luxury.
Right.
Next day, you're 100% invested.
Yep.
Right? If I buy ARK funds today, I'm getting astronomical prices on everything she owns, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so anyways. Now, on the downside, what's the worst performing area of the market today? China. JD.com down 4%, Baidu down 3%, NetEase down 2.5%. Not a good area in the market at all. Okay, well, it's an interesting day. You've got Dow way up, NASDAQ down. You've got kind of the opposite taking place of what's been going on all year. And I'm just saying with new money, I would be looking at some of these other sectors, or I would be looking at tech stocks that still have 75 to 80% upside potential based on those valuations that I calculate in the Best Stocks Now app.com, which is an invaluable tool, especially the valuations. There's what I'm looking at. I don't care so much about the momentum right now and the performance. Most of them have that. It's now we're focused on valuation. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. put money to work for you? 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.